Hey everybody, welcome back in to episode number 11 of the revamped Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, play-by-play voice of the Johns Hopkins Blue Jays, a lifelong Orioles fan here in the Baltimore area as we bring you all the Orioles news and analysis all season here on the pod. And here this week, another Minor League Monday as we continue our series looking back on the 2019 season of all of the Baltimore Orioles affiliates. And today we're going to talk about the team that was probably the second most successful Orioles team, and you could argue the most successful Orioles minor league affiliate in 2019, and that was the Low A Delmarva Shorebirds out of the South Atlantic League. The Shorebirds in 2019, 90-48 record last year. They won 90 games. They were the champions in not only the first half, but the second half as well in their division in the South Atlantic League, so qualified for the playoffs. Unfortunately for them, were swept in the South Atlantic League semifinals by the Hickory Crawdads, so did not make it to that championship series or get a chance to play for a league title. But it was that pitching rotation last year that was really the huge thing for Delmarva. Of course, they had Grayson Rodriguez all of last season, who is the Orioles' number two overall prospect and number one pitching prospect right now, who it feels like we could see in an Orioles uniform as early as some point during the 2021 season, and you're hoping he's in the opening day starting rotation by 2022 for the Big League Ball Club. But he was obviously very successful last year with a 2.68 ERA and 129 strikeouts in just 94 innings. But he wasn't the only guy. There's some under-the-radar prospects that were in that pitching rotation. He was joined by Gray Fenter, Drew Rahm, Nick Vespi, and Ryan Wilson, all who had over 100 strikeouts last season. And that was really the five in the rotation for most of 2019 for Delmarva. It was kind of rare for a team at that level to have that much of a consistent starting rotation for most of the season, and they dominated, setting strikeout records in the South Atlantic League last season, and we will talk about those guys and also those hitters that had really, really good seasons in Delmarva as well last year, including, of course, Adley Rutschman. He was only there for 12 games right at the end of the year, but he got a little bit of taste of that league as well. And to talk about the Shorebirds, we are joined by the play-by-play voice and the media relations director of the Delmarva Shorebirds. That is Will DeBoer, who has been with Delmarva for a few years now. And Will will tell us everything we need to know about Delmarva last season, what the prospects looked like, and what it looks like going forward for the Shorebirds in 2020. Like we did last week with Michael Lear of the Ironbirds, we've split up this conversation into two episodes. So we'll have part one of that conversation today, where we will talk a lot about the pitching. And then tomorrow on Tuesday, we will have part two, where we'll get into some of the hitters. And we will talk a bit about Adley Rutschman in Delmarva last year. So here, enjoy part one of our conversation with the play-by-play voice of the Delmarva Shorebirds, Will DeBoer. And Will, thanks for taking some time today to talk Shorebirds on the pod.
It's a pleasure, Connor. Thanks for having me.
So obviously we talk Shorebirds, and when you talk Delmarva in 2019, you got to start with that starting rotation. Team with 90 wins last year, of course, fell short in the South Atlantic League playoffs. However, it was quite a display from the entire pitching staff, but really the starting rotation. And when you look at that team, I think everybody wants to know what makes Grayson Rodriguez so good, and especially what made him so good last season.
Well, the thing you notice about Grayson is that, well, last year at least, he was listed as 19 years old. He does not seem 19 years old. He is poised. He is polished. He seems like the most confident 19-year-old you've ever met. That's impressive for somebody who's just coming right out of high school. You know what those years do to your self-confidence in general. Grayson was phenomenal. Just there's an aura about him, the presence around him. You know that he's destined for greatness. And you look at some of his numbers, the way he was striking out batters, 129 of them over 94 innings, this mostly against guys who were 3, 4, 5 years older than him. And it's the fastball that he's got. He's got really heavy life on it. The changeup was really impressive. I think that was his most developed of the secondary pitches, but really he's working on everything right now. And for where he is at 19, it's just incredible to think about where he's going to be at age 20 this year, 21, 22, et cetera.
Yeah, and you look at those numbers, 20 starts, 94 innings, a 2.68 ERA, and he had 129 strikeouts in 94 innings. And I think, you know, a lot of fans who didn't get to watch him want to know, you know, is that just because of that high-powered fastball and he's maybe overpowering hitters in that league? Or was it because he was able to mix pitches and use those secondary pitches really well as well, which obviously bodes better for the future for him?
You know, the fastball certainly doesn't hurt, but I think it was the fact that he had a bunch of other off-speed pitches developed that allowed him to pick up those strikeouts. You take the raw skills that he's got and you combine it with the approaches that the Orioles had him take through Justin Ramsey, who was the Shorebirds pitching coach last year, and I think that's where you get a lot of your strikeout numbers. Our manager, Kyle Moore, beginning of the season talked about how, you know, he feels fortunate for SEC schools out there, because if he hadn't gone to the Orioles, he would have gone, I believe, Texas A&M, and he says he would have been the best pitcher in all of college baseball last year as a freshman, let alone just the SEC.
And obviously he would have dominated there, but he would have been there for 3 years, and who knows if he would have been an Oriole. So I think things working out for Baltimore. Now, it wasn't just Grayson last year. Obviously, he's the guy that the eyes are going to be on. He's the number two prospect in the system. He's the number one pitching prospect in the system, according to MLB.com. So everybody's going to be watching him. But Delmarva had three other starters last year who were with the team for most of 2019 and all really impressed. Gray Fenter, Drew Rahm, Nick Vespi were all great. Out of those three guys, you know, who do you think Orioles fans really need to start to pay attention to out of those other guys?
Well, I mean, that's a real Sophie's choice right there, I'll say. But of the names you just listed, I think Fenter is the one that's the most intriguing. He's the oldest of the group. He's 23. He had Tommy John surgery back in 2016. This was the first year when he was really, really fully recovered from that, 100% healthy. And you started to see it in the second half, especially when he would go out there and he would notch strikeout numbers the same way that Grayson did. I mean, you look at Delmarva's roster, we had five pitchers who had 100 strikeouts last year. But Fenter is another one of those bulldogs, and he's going to go out there, and that mound is his. And when he's locked in, you know, you've got some real trouble. I remember our last playoff game against Hickory. Six in the third innings, he struck out 13 batters in, you know, the biggest pressure atmosphere of his career. So I think that proves he can go out there and do it with the best of them in the most trying circumstances.
If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Orioles is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Orioles fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listeners, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Orioles fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word ADVERTISING to 33777 or visit LockedOnPodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word ADVERTISING to 33777 or visit LockedOnPodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. And all four of those guys, at least 100 strikeouts in less than 100 innings for all four of them, Fenter, Rahm, Vespi, and of course, Grayson Rodriguez. And what was it like to kind of, you know, watch that a bit from afar? Because a lot of times at a level like the South Atlantic League, you're going to get some good prospects like Grayson Rodriguez, and you're expecting them to come in there and dominate. But not all the time do you get essentially an entire rotation who's all pitching that well. So what was it like basically every night of the week to go out there and see a guy who could get, you know, 7, 8, 9 strikeouts any given night?
Well, I think I'm a purist at heart when it comes to baseball, and just the idea that we could see a pitcher totally mastering his craft every night really got my spirits up even more. You know, you'd expect your spirits to be up over a 90-win season, but the way they did it was just so dominant in the pitching wise, and then they got enough offense to make the pitching stand up. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention there was a fifth guy who had the 100 strikeouts. Ryan Wilson joined the team middle of May. He was actually a shortbird in 2018 as a reliever, and he was a good reliever. But then he came up in the middle of May after some promotion and starting pitching changes, and he ended up striking out 105 batters over 93 and a third innings, 280 ERA, a complete reversal from what I expected out of him from the previous season. I mean, he was a good pitcher. Last year made him into a great pitcher. I think you've got the combination of the raw talent of all these guys and the new pitching philosophy that's brought in by Chris Holt, and Justin Ramsey was our pitching coach last year who implemented it on the ground. And I think that's what's paying real dividends. So between those five guys, I mean, Grayson's going to get all the headlines, but all of them could advance up the ladder and impact the Orioles in a few years.
And you've been with Delmarva for a few years now, and you know, are you starting to see the change where like these teams are populated with arms, all of these minor league affiliates for the Orioles, and guys who were, you know, all thinking the same thing, having these great seasons and thinking, hey, there could be a spot for me if I keep pitching like this?
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch everybody come up. I mean, this is even dating back to my first season in 2017 when they had Alex Wells, who went 11-5 with something like a 2.38 ERA as a finesse left-hander and didn't walk anybody over the final 68 innings of the season. So I think everybody's going to pay attention to the guys who are brought in by Michael Elias's regime, who he's drafted and who he's signed. But the talent was there from the previous regime. And Grayson was the first-round pick from 2018 from before Mike Elias got there. And Zach Lowther, Mike Bauman, who passed through in 2018, were also holdovers from the old regime and their draft classes. So I think that, I mean, it's not just Delmarva who is going to experience the fruits of these labors and really good draft picks, but I think the whole Orioles system over the next few years, now that you've got coaches at each level and managers that are 100% buying into the system, you're going to see a lot more of this. This is going to become the trend, not just an anomaly.
So our thanks again to Will DeBoer for chatting with us. Remember, part two of that conversation about the Shorebirds will be coming up on our episode tomorrow. That's Tuesday's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast. We'll talk about the hitters who thrived in Delmarva. Do a little Adley Rutschman talk as well, and really just talk about the Orioles system pitching-wise as a whole and how these guys have kind of bought into this new era with Mike Elias at the helm, and now obviously the results were showing even just in 2019 in year one of that regime. Of course, some Orioles news, obviously, in the last couple of weeks. They made a couple of signings. They bring back Stevie Wilkerson and Brandon Kline, who we were worried about them losing, both from a pitching perspective. But obviously, the big news this week in baseball, the trade of Mookie Betts from the Red Sox to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Of course, Mookie had 1 year left on his deal, and it was reported that he may have not wanted to re-sign with Boston anyway, so they might have had to trade him. But you look at a guy like Mookie Betts, that's a top five player in the major leagues right now. And we made the point on Twitter on Sunday night to some varying acceptance and thoughts on that. But, you know, did the Orioles end up with more from the Dodgers for a half season of Manny Machado than the Red Sox got for a full season of Mookie Betts? Now, for the Red Sox, they trade Mookie Betts and David Price to the Dodgers. Mookie Betts with 1 year left on the deal, Price with 3 years on the deal. They eat half of Price's contract as well. They get back Alex Verdugo, who showed he could hit a little at the major league level, one of the top prospects for the Dodgers, and he's probably going to be a starting outfielder for Boston. And then they get a couple of prospects, the shortstop Jeter Downs and the catcher Connor Wong, each of them a couple of years away from the big leagues. Really, Downs is a much more highly regarded prospect and does have a good chance, I think, to get to the major league level. Of course, there was the original trade in which the Red Sox were just going to get Verdugo and then Brusdar Graterol, the flame-throwing right-hander from the Twins, who regularly touches over 100 miles an hour, one of the Twins' top pitching prospects. That deal fell through. Instead, Graterol actually ends up going to the Dodgers, and the Dodgers still send one of their starting pitchers, Kenta Maeda, over to the Twins in a separate deal. But really, it was the Red Sox giving up Mookie Betts and David Price. Now, they got half the contract off the books for Price, but he's still a good pitcher. Not a great pitcher, not what he was, but still a good pitcher. And he's gone for Verdugo, who you're hoping is an everyday outfielder, and a couple of prospects who you just don't know on. And frankly, you don't know on Alex Verdugo yet. And so you look at it and you think, did the Orioles get more for Manny a couple years ago? For a half a season of Manny Machado, who, despite being a superstar, Mookie Betts is a better player than Manny Machado. And I think most people would agree on that, and the numbers would back it up as well. Of course, for Machado, they got Rylan Bannon, Yusniel Diaz, Dean Kramer, Zach Pop, and Breivik Valera. Of course, Valera, they got to the major leagues first, and he has since moved on. But Pop, Kramer, Diaz, Bannon, all in the minor leagues, and all with chances to make it to the big leagues. And it's probably close because Verdugo, obviously a much higher rated prospect than any of those guys, and Jeter Downs up there as well. But, you know, these Orioles guys are getting towards the point where they might be major league ready, and it's not like the Manny trade had a much bigger return. It's close, and you could definitely argue that the Red Sox got more for Betts, but how much more do they really get for a better player who you get a full season and, you know, the face of a franchise that, listen, the Orioles were out of it by 2018. They knew they had to rebuild. They started that rebuild. The Red Sox aren't rebuilding. They won the World Series 2 years ago. They've still got a good core of players, and it's still a team. Mookie Betts obviously makes them a championship contender. Without Mookie Betts, they're more of a playoff team if they can get there. But you still have a championship window, even if Mookie can't re-sign, to go for it in 2020. Now, you know you want to get something out of him instead of just a compensation pick if he doesn't re-sign with Boston after 2020. And if he said he wasn't going to re-sign with Boston, he said he wasn't going to re-sign, and maybe you have to trade him. But it just feels like they gave up on Mookie Betts to just cut some money from a Boston team that's won World Series and could do it again with one of the best players in baseball. And it's nice to see Mookie out of the AL East. He torched the Orioles for years, and he will now be a Dodger. And just to wrap it up, I don't know about this for the Red Sox, and I do think this makes the Dodgers, with Price now on that team, along with Mookie, obviously, this makes Los Angeles, I think, the World Series favorites, and I think this might be the year that they can get over the hump, finally win that World Series in 2020. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening right now. Send us a rating and a review if you can as well. Coming up for the rest of the week, we have part two of that conversation with Will DeBoer talking about the Shorebirds tomorrow. And then we, on Wednesday, we'll have Jeff Carr on the podcast to continue our player preview series. Is we're going to look at Jose Iglesias, the Orioles' new shortstop. Of course, Iglesias spent 2019 with the Reds, and Jeff Carr is the host of the Locked On Reds podcast. So we're going to have him on to talk about Iglesias. And then later in the week, we will have AJ Andrews on. She is the host of the Locked On Blue Jays podcast, and she will help us break down Richard Urania, another shortstop the Orioles picked up on waivers, who we've seen in the AL East with Toronto, and he's a young, intriguing guy in the infield who we will break down as well this week. So a lot of exciting episodes coming out for the rest of the week as pitchers and catchers, all of a sudden, they report tomorrow, and spring training begins, and baseball season almost feels like it gets into full swing here this week. We thank you for listening here on the Locked On Orioles podcast, the Locked On podcast.